the Braves Craze Podcast with your host, the Braves Doctor.
What's up, Braves Country? Welcome to the Braves Craze Podcast. Today is August 28th, 2019. Welcome to our show. As always, I'd like to invite you to follow me on Twitter. That's at Dr. Braves. Again, at Dr. Braves. I'd appreciate any follows you can give me. And also go to your favorite podcast outlet and subscribe to and review the Braves Craze Podcast. So thanks again for what you do with all of that. Today, I want to talk about a few things, starting with the replacement players on our team. Let's start with that segment now. We've got five guys I want to talk about briefly and how much they've done for our team. To start with, Alex Anthopoulos, has done a really nice job putting this team together this year and last year, obviously. But the thing he's done this year that I was a bit skeptical of that's really worked is bringing in these guys that we'll kind of call off the scrap heap guys to come in and contribute to our team when we've had injuries or players not performing well in some cases. So those five guys, and a couple of these guys were already with our team, at least one, well, two were, and three were brought in from outside. But I'm going to talk about Rafael Ortega, Adani Echevarria, Matt Joyce, Francisco Cervelli, and then Billy Hamilton. So let's start with Ortega. He's a guy in our system that we brought up from AAA, career minor leaguer, spent a little time in the majors, but not a ton. He has come up and played right field, a little bit of left field, spelled in center some, and actually made a pretty good impact. Had a couple of huge hits for us this year. The grand slam to beat the Dodgers basically a few weeks back, among other things. His average has kind of dropped some, but he's a fairly speedy guy with a lefty bat. That actually has played pretty well, but again, up and down average, made a good impact. So Rafael Ortega is a guy that I think has done a nice job. One of the things that comes to mind with Ortega is, does he stick around for the playoffs, though? Where does he fit in going forth? I guess it kind of depends on Nick Markakis and his health and if he's able to get back. Austin Riley also could factor into that as well, being a guy that could come in and take back over some left field at-bats. From Ortega. So I think his long-term playoff roster prognosis depends on Markakis and Riley's health. But, he's done a nice job filling in. So let's stay with the outfield and look at Matt Joyce. Again, Matt's a guy we signed in the spring training this year. He was let go, I believe, by Tampa Bay and ended up here with us with the Braves, and he's been a bench bat most of the year, but he's been making a lot of starts with the outfield depleted like it was. And, Matt's done a really good job. I think Matt has a place on this team long term, at least this year for sure with the playoffs, as he is our pinch hitter, DH kind of guy in the American League parks. Again, a lefty bat who's hit really well, had some big hits off the bench, some nice hits while he started as well. So I like Matt Joyce. I think Matt Joyce has done a good job, and he's the veteran presence on that bench. And I do believe he'll be on the playoff roster without some barring injury or difficult struggles for him in the next two or three weeks down the stretch. So, again, Matt Joyce, veteran, good job. I think he stays with us in the playoffs. So, Adani Echevarria is a guy that the Mets let go, longtime Florida Marlin, but he was a defensive shortstop for the Mets who at one time had a good bit of upside. Always was a good defender. At one time had some speed, and they were hoping his bat may come around. And he never really got to the hitting part of what the Marlins wanted, and therefore he was a Met to start this season, and they let him go a few weeks back. So when Dansby went down, I'm a big Johan Camargo guy. You've probably heard that from me before on this podcast, and Johan's a guy that I really have been high on, and he's struggled. And again, I've got my theories on why, but Johan is now in AAA. So we signed Adani Echevarria and plugged him in to start at shortstop. And I will say immediately, he shored the defense up. Our defense became better than using Camargo or Culberson there, who both struggled defensively, and for that matter, offensively too. And Echevarria gave us enough with the bat to kind of keep him in there. He wasn't necessarily killing it, but he had a few big hits and was getting on base some. So, you can live with that, certainly the way he was playing shortstop, and he was a very, very good defensive shortstop, and that still is the case. I think he may have lost a step from when he was with Florida, but, you know, still a big upgrade defensively over Camargo or Culberson that we saw early in the year. Also of note, Camargo, I used to think, was the best defender on the infield, and I think he still is a very good defensive player, but I think he's gotten bigger, put on some muscle, a little bit of weight, and his range has kind of suffered. And also, I think he's gotten out of sync by being on the bench so much. But, you know, Echevarria did a good job. Dansby is now back. So my guess is that Echevarria would not have a place on the playoff roster unless we choose to take a defensive replacement kind of guy over Culberson or maybe even Camargo if he gets back and gets back on this roster when rosters expand and plays well. So, you know, Echevarria has been a really good piece for us, though, and was a nice signing for a few weeks there to hold over from Dansby Swanson. So let's go with my two favorite signings now to talk about. Let's start with Billy Hamilton. So Billy Hamilton is a speedy outfielder, came up with the Reds and was playing for the Royals, who's never been able to really hit. He has elite speed and just never has been able to get on base the way we wanted him to or the way his teams wanted him to make an impact. He's also a very good defender with that speed. So we picked him up and he's played well. I mean, it's a limited sample size for sure. Not a lot of time yet here, but he's been defensive substitute. He's gotten some timely hits for us over the last few weeks, a few days, excuse me, stolen a few bases as well. And, you know, I think he's a weapon to have off the bench. And I do think that he's a guy we could possibly take into the playoff rosters to have that speed, pinch running, defensive sub kind of guy. And if he keeps putting the ball in play on the ground like he is now and getting on base, you know, with some people still hurt, depending on Markakis and Riley and Ortega and Joyce, you may see Hamilton get a few more at-bats. Even though the Braves did not sign him, they said to get him at-bats, but he may earn those if he keeps hitting the ball, getting on base, because that speed, you know, turns a single into double, and he can just score from any place on the base paths with that kind of speed. So, again, I like this pickup. I know he's not a long-term fit for the Braves, but I think he could be a guy we take him to playoffs as a third or fourth, fifth outfielder kind of guy to pinch run and to play defense late in the game. And then finally, maybe my favorite pickup is Francisco Cervelli, who was cut loose by the Pirates. So here's a catcher who's had a couple of good years with the Pirates, but honestly was considering retirement after an injury. And they let him go, waived him, and the Braves took a flyer, signed him. And, you know, so far, after a few games, he's looked like the player of old. He wasn't hitting for the Pirates when he did play this year, and he's come over to the Braves. And I believe the first game he got three hits. So, you know, I think this is a good defensive player. His bat is an upgrade from Tyler Flowers, for sure. And I'll just say I'm not a fan of our catching platoon with McCann and Flowers the way some are. Love Brian McCann. He's a longtime Brave, but he's not young anymore. And Tyler Flowers is not there, and he's had the yips this year on the pass balls as well. So I think Cervelli honestly gives us an upgrade, maybe over Flowers, maybe not McCann with the bat, but certainly with Flowers with that bat. And he's a comparable defender to Flowers, I think, as well. So I like this a lot. I kind of look for him to be our catching platoon with McCann if Brian gets well into the playoffs, or if Brian's not well, maybe he and Tyler take that and make the 1-2 punch. But I like the Cervelli McCann platoon or timeshare going forth if Brian does get healthy. Welcome back to the Braves Craze podcast. This is the final segment for today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the week that was, what's happening this week, a little bit about one particular minor league transaction and the Acuna-Mattingly situation. So let's first talk about the sweep of the Marlins at home. So we handled business, won the game we're supposed to win, won the games we're supposed to win with Florida, which is good because we sometimes don't do that. And then we hopped on the road to a red-hot Mets team who had won 10 straight and proceeded to sweep them in New York, which was super encouraging for me as a fan to see where we were going forth. You know, I really thought that was going to be a difficult series for us, and I'm not saying it wasn't, but to go in there and win all three in New York was really, really a big thing for the Braves. A couple things about the week. Julio Teheran, after pitching about as poorly as I've ever seen Julio pitch the week before, came in and just absolutely was lights out again this week. Looking like the guy we want to trust going into the playoffs again. So really encouraged by Julio, Mike Foltynewicz, again with another good start. And then tonight again against Toronto this week, pitched a really good game early on. Didn't last that long, but was pitching well. One thing about Folty I've noticed the last couple of starts is the velocity's there, but now the movement is there. You know, Folty's a guy that's been throwing 97, 98 since he came up, but he was not necessarily a guy who had a lot of movement on that fastball. And that fastball right now is darting in. It's coming back. He's doing a lot of things with that fastball that makes it pretty hard to hit, and it's still going 96, 97. So if the guy does that, can throw strikes, it's going to be really difficult to hit for sure going forth. Also, his breaking stuff, he was throwing a slower curveball tonight in the 70s, mid to high 70s on the curveball. And after he throws a 96 moving fastball that's running, and then he drops that curveball in there and sells that, man, he's pretty tough to hit. So encouraged with Folty as well this week. And I also want to talk about the bullpen, which, you know, the last time we kind of talked with us on the pod, the bullpen, the three trades we made to bring in Mark Melanson, Shane Green, and Chris Martin, you know, we can just say that wasn't working. Well, all of a sudden, that's turned around. The Braves have not given up runs hardly at all out of the bullpen for the last couple of weeks, with Melanson now closing, and he's been a little bit shaky to my liking, but getting the job done. He's the veteran that comes in and has been there and done that a few times, but all of a sudden, Chris Martin looks overpowering with mid-90s and slider. And then Shane Green, who looked like he had no clue what he was doing the first two or three games he pitched, all of a sudden is really dominating hitters. You know, I thought Shane Green was a guy who threw high 90s on his fastball. And you know, that's just me not watching the Tigers play a whole lot. Shane Green's not that guy. He's 91, 92, 93 on the fastball. But the slider command now has really become a big deal for Shane. He's placing spot in that slider and making hitters look real bad off that breaking pitch. So he's a guy that I'm starting to trust out of that bullpen a lot. And you know, he's kind of in the setup role at this point in time, but I wonder long term if Shane doesn't take back over the closer's role here once he gets more accustomed to being in the pennant race and being in high leverage situations, which he certainly was not in Detroit. So, you know, long story short, I think I'm starting to trust all three of these new relievers in Green. Certainly Green now, and certainly Martin. Melanson, who actually is closing, is the guy that kind of scares me the most. But I do think he's a quality pitcher, and he's gotten the job done for us here down the stretch. So I wanted to touch on the Florida Ronald Acuna being again, which, you know, last year, Jose Urena, after Acuna had the home run streak, hit him with the first pitch of the game and caused a big ruckus and suspensions and all this stuff last year. So this not long ago, a few early in the week in the Wallen series, first pitch of the game, Acuna gets beaned again. And you know, Don Mattingly was sort of seen as smirking over there. And, you know, it was a weird situation. So let me just say Don Mattingly is a player. I grew up watching Don, and I really admired him as a hitter. He was a very good baseball player for the Yankees, one of the best hitters in the game, just a pure hitter. And I really was fond of Don as a player. I'm really not that fond of Don as a manager. Don hasn't really won a whole lot. But, you know, this kind of thing he's doing with Acuna at this point in time, to me, is intentional. I do think that was on purpose. I think they're pitching Ronald inside, which most of the league's doing. But I think Florida is just basically looking at some of Ronald's antics that they don't like, and they're just making a point to single him out in my mind. And, you know, that's kind of Bush League, so I don't like that. And I think Don is a guy that I just not really sure what he's doing out there as a manager. And, you know, I would not condone that. Now, Ronald is a flamboyant guy, but a lot of today's players have taken to the bat flips and the admiring the home runs. And, you know, Ronald, as we talked about last week, had a little stint where he got pulled from the game for being a little too much of a home run watcher and not running a ball out. So, you know, I know our team is working on that. Snit's working on that. And I hope that other managers around the league will see that Ronald, I do believe, is a good guy, and certainly he's a great player, but I don't think he's a bad guy. He's just a little flamboyant, and he's young too. So, but, you know, I fault Mattingly and the Marlins for that one again. You know, really not a good thing, and hopefully we can see this kind of die away with the Marlins, but with Mattingly, who knows for sure with that. So, last thing I want to talk about, well, let's talk real quick about this week. We started off with a game at Colorado and snuck up on us and lost that game, didn't get any clutch hits, and then lost the first game to Toronto. And as we speak now, the Braves are leading 8-4 in game two versus Toronto on the road. So hopefully we'll get a split there, get some momentum back in for the weekend as we come up on a big series here. Last thing I want to talk about is I saw and read today that Drew Waters was named the MVP of the Southern League this year, which is the Mississippi Braves, which I've talked a good bit about going to Mississippi and Pearl, Mississippi, watching the team play. So Drew Waters, along with Christian Pache, was phenomenal this year at AA. You know, would have been hard for me to pick a guy that would have been Pache or Waters would have been better, but the fact that Waters was chosen just tells you what a talent this guy is. I mean, Pache is considered to be our center field of the future, and I think Waters, I've talked about, is just as valuable at this point in time, and I look really forward to the time, hopefully early next year, when the outfield is going to be Waters, Acuna, and Pache, with Pache probably being in center, and then my guess is Waters left and Acuna right. So, props for Drew Waters. You know, the league's giving him love, recognizing the guy's talent, and the award is deserved for Drew Waters, certainly. And then again, Drew is hitting well at AAA. Gwinnett now hitting over 300 there at this point in time, up on last check. So congrats to Drew Waters and the M Braves on that honor. So that's all we got for today. Again, I remind you to follow me on Twitter. That's at Dr. Braves. Again, at Dr. Braves. And please go out and give this podcast a subscription. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform.